إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. I welcome all of you, dear brothers and sisters in Islam. And this is the part number 3 of this lecture series في قواعد في تزكية النفس, principles pertaining to the purification of the soul. لفضيلة الشيخ الدكتور عبد الرزاق ابن عبد المحسن البدر حفظهم الله. And this is a lecture that I have taken from the website of our beloved Sheikh, Dr. عبد الرزاق, the son of our beloved Sheikh عبد المحسن البدر. العباد البدر حفظهم الله. May Allah preserve both of them, their family members, and preserve the rest of our noble scholars and the Muslims. الأمر الخامس من القواعد المهمة في هذا الباب. إن شاء الله tonight we will continue and bring you the fifth principle. But before that, who can remind us of the fourth ones? One brother that can say all of them, or two, each one mentioned two principles, or four that mentioned each one of them mentioned one. نعم يا أخي. Which one you choose? All four of them. Can you come one base or two bases closer? You're like four bases far away. Exactly.
The first one being that Allah Ta'ala gives you the...
Hold on. Say it again.
The first one.
Nah.
That Allah gives you the ability to purify your soul.
That the number one, the first principle, is that purification of the soul is in Allah's hand.
The second one, you have to make dua.
And since this is the case, the brother says, the second principle is that since only Allah purify whom He will, so ask it from Allah. Ask Allah. The purification, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Naam.
The third one, you have to read Al-Quran. Not only read it, to understand and implement.
Yes, but what is the title to that one? We gave a title. Al-Kitabu. Al-Qur'an kitabu tazkiyat an-nafs. The Qur'an is the book that leads to the purification of the soul. Now, number 4. Al-iqtida'u bil-rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, no one can be purified except through following the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ihsan, jazakallahu khair. Al-amr al-khamis. The fifth principle. At-tazkiyah takhliya wa tahliya. That the tazkiyah, purification, is takhliya and tahliya. And once again, the sunnah is we drink with the right hand, not with the left. Jazakumullah khairan, barakallahu feekum. We need to keep up with one another. We hope, inshallah ta'ala, you gotta observe around you, inshallah. Tayyib, jazakumullah khairan. We're human beings and we forget. That's why we need each other to remind one another. I'm not gonna point out anybody, but alhamdulillah, we still have to give advice, inshallah. Zakum Allah khair. At-tazkiyah takhliyah wa tahliyah. What does that mean? That a purification for a person to does it the right way, they have to give up certain things, stay away from certain things, and act upon others, and adorn themselves with others. Okay? Haqiqat at-tazkiyah takhliyah wa tahliyah. The Shaykh says, actually, this is the reality of purification. If somebody really is purifying himself and want to do the right things and do the correct job, such person should apply these two terms, takhliya wa tahliya. تجمع أمرين دل عليهما أصل مبلول هذه اللفظة في اللغة ودل عليهم نصوص الشرع. And he says, and this is because we have texts in the Quran that command us to stay away from certain things. That's takhliya. You leave alone certain matters. And also you adorn yourself and follow and act upon and apply other things. Yes, we have them in the Quran. And in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, we are commanded to apply certain things. وَالتَّزْكِيَةَ تَنْقِيَةٌ لِلنَّفْسِ مِنَ الرَّذَائِلِ وَالْحَقَارَاتِ وَالدَّنَاءَاتِ. What is that thing that we should leave alone and clean ourselves and purify ourselves from? All despicable, vile, low base characteristics, statements, actions. Anything that is not good in our deen of Allah. Anything that is not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're struggling with it, let us fight. And continue to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. وَتَنْمِيَةٌ لَهَا بِالْفَضَائِلِ وَالْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَاتِ وَالطَّاعَاتِ الزَّكِيَاتِ. And likewise, you purify your soul by elevating the rank. You know, rising the level of iman by acting upon obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by doing righteous actions. That's purification. So you stay away from the haram and act upon that which is permissible. You do the obligation and stay away from the prohibitions. These are the things. Say that which is pleasing to Allah and abstain and stay away from what is displeasing to Allah. Be where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to be and stay away from what Allah tells you not to be, and the like. فالزكاة الشرعية المطلوبة من المؤمن طهارة ونماء. طهارة للنفس بترقيتها وتخليتها من الرذائل من الحقارات من الخسائس ونماء النفس بالفضائل. Once again the Shaykh, he gives a summary, he says, purifying the soul should be achieved through means that are legislated. It should be achieved through means that are legislated. Because we have enough. We have enough in Islam. There's no need for somebody to go and try to purify himself through other means that are not legislated to us. Such person wasting time, and they will not be successful. Because inventing ways that is not from the deen, that's an innovation. And remember one of the principles the Shaykh mentioned, that there is no way for a person to purify himself except through following the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And if somebody is inventing ways or thinking that some ways from other people, sometimes the kuffar, and they think that those things they're going to purify himself and he didn't try the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that's a big mistake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nur, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى. شفت أَزْكَى لَهُمْ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Surah An-Nur, verse number 30. Tell the believing men to lower their gaze and protect their private parts from illegal sexual acts. That is purer. We're talking about purification. That is purer for them. Verily Allah is all aware of what they do. The Shaykh says, when a person leave off the haram and stay away from sins, from sinning, all of this is considered tazkiyah and purification. You stay away from the haram. You know it's sin, try your best to stay away from it. This is purification to the soul. And we give an example. If you want to keep that white thobe nice, you be sitting on the mud? I'm asking you. No, you don't. Because you know what's going to happen. You're going to avoid things. You're going to avoid mud. Avoid what? Ketchup? Mustard? Right or wrong? You want to get that rib, man, that barbecue, but you don't want to, like, you got to be careful of the barbecue sauce. Right or wrong? So you want to stay away from anything that might tarnish and blemish your thobe. And on top of that, you're going to keep it clean, right? You wash it, you put it in the wash. If you don't do these things, can I ask you a question? If we don't do things, if you sit in the mud, do your clothing stay clean? You want to keep your clothes clean, right? Can you sit in the mud outside and then your clothing stay clean? Ahsant, what's your name? Basim. And how old are you?
Adam.
Your name Adam. How old are you, Adam?
Five.
Ahsant, barakallahu fi, jazakallahu khair. Tayyib, see? 5 years old, he knows what's going on. Alhamdulillah. So this is when you stay away from sinning, from haram. That's purification of the soul. النَّفْسُ تُزَكَّى بِالْبُعْدِ عَلْ الْحَرَامِ. Because we know the importance of purifying the soul. Now, if somebody wants to purify himself, well, he got to do this. He got to stay away from haram. This is the first side. وَكَذَلِكَ بِتَنْمِيَتِهَا بِالْفَضَائِلِ وَالطَّاعَاتِ. These two things, they work together. Stay away from haram and act upon the halal. Alright? Stay away from the prohibitions and act upon the obligations. Stay away from anything that is sin and evil and increase from obedience and righteous actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'la, verses 14 and 15, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. Indeed, whosoever purifies himself by avoiding polytheism and accepting Islamic monotheism shall achieve success. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. And remember, meaning he glorifies the name of his Lord by worshipping none but him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and praise the five compulsory, and then increase from nawafil, from the optional prayers as well. That's the person who is successful. If he worship Allah alone, fulfilling the tawheed, and then do the actions of worship, the most important is the safeguarding and protecting the five obligatory prayers. فَالذِّكْرُ تَزْكِيَ لِلنَّفْسِ وَكَذَلِكَ الصَّلَاةِ. The Shaykh says, so remembrance of Allah also is a purification to the soul. Remembering Allah all time. And also praying. The prayer is a purification for the soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ankabut, ayah 45, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Verily the prayer prevents from al-fahsha. What is fahsha? Great sins of every kind. Likewise, unlawful sexual intercourse. Also, the salat prevents from al-munkar. What is munkar? Disbelief, polytheism, and every kind of evil, wicked deeds. That's munkar. So the salat keep you away from sins. Remember, if you want to purify yourself, you got to stay away from sins. And that's, and why the salat helps in this regard, because it keeps a person away from sins, from fahsha and munkar. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 45, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. And seek help in patience and as-salat, the prayer. And truly, the salat is extremely heavy and hard, except for al-khashi'een. جَعَلَنِ اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكُمْ مِنْهُمْ. May Allah make us all from them. Ameen. Who are al-khashi'een? The true believers in Allah, who obey Allah with full submission, fear much His punishment, and believe in His promise, paradise, and in His warnings, meaning hell, the hellfire. Likewise, siyam, tazkiyah lin-nafs. Fasting is purification for the soul. Don't you see that when you fast, alhamdulillah, Monday, that day is nice, subhanAllah, you feel good, you feel better, you want to read Quran, you're something in you telling you, you got to go early in the masjid, you fasted today, mashallah. But when you're not fasting, it's like it's another day. You're another person when you're not fasting. But as soon as you fast Monday or Thursday or one day for the sake of Allah, then subhanAllah, something in you telling you, read more Quran, akhi. Don't look over there. Don't go over there. Go early to the masjid. You're fasting today, Allahu Akbar. Why? Because fasting is a means that help us purify our souls as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed it for us. He said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ الْحِكْمَةِ إِشْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you as it was prescribed upon those who came before you, that you may learn taqwa. And that's purification of the soul. The soul that is purified is a soul that have taqwa. And fasting help and to achieve that. Al-Hajj tazkiyir al-nafs, likewise Hajj. Why? Because you do things in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and that's purification of your soul. وَعُمُومُ الطَّاعَاتِ الَّتِي أَمَرَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عِبَادَهُ بِهَا وَدَعَاهُمْ إِلَيْهَا كُلُّهَا تُزَكِّي النَّفْسَ وَتَسْمُو بِهَا وَتَرْفَعُهَا وَتَنْهَضُ بِهَا إِلَى عَالِي الرُّتَبِ. Likewise, everything that Allah has commanded us to do, everything that Allah has commanded His servants, all of these things, if we act upon them, they purify our souls and raise the level of our souls and our ranks with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mujadila, Ayah 11, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah raises levels, those who believe amongst you and those who were granted knowledge. Allah raised them many levels. So the Shaykh says the actions of obedience, when a person acts upon them, they raise him in ranks with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they purify his soul. Likewise, the same thing is said, the opposite is true. The ma'asi, sins and disobedience to Allah, sink a person, wal'iyadu billah, in a deep hole. Deep hole. Sink him in that things. Wal'iyadu, and tarnish his soul, blemish it. Wal'iyadu billah. And the soul are two, the nafs is two types. Nafsun fadila wa nafsun dani'a. Shaykh says, and keep in mind that the nafs is of two types. There is that nafs that is pure, noble, righteous, upright, and there is that nafs that is wicked and evil. Wal'iyadu billah. What is that soul that is noble, honest, righteous? It is the soul that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and tawfiq is from Allah, it's not because of the people. Allah allowed that person to purify his soul. Why? By actions of obedience and by righteous actions. And of course, tawfiq is from Allah. Those who are righteous and upright and honest and straight upon the path, that's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You thank Allah for that ni'mah. The Sahaba, as you, the Shaykh mentioned, a line of poetry, they used to say, by Allah, as is not for being for Allah, meaning tawfiq from Allah, we will never be guided. We won't be guided. If you're guided and you're doing the right thing, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the wicked and the evil soul, he become wicked because the person, that person has sinked his soul in evil, in sins. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. That's why he became evil. And so therefore, once again, if a person wants to purify himself, meaning if his nafs to be noble, to be righteous, upright, then he has to do these two things. Keep his nafs and himself from all evil and wicked deeds and statements and places, and stay away from wicked and evil people as well, and adorn himself with that which is pleasing to Allah, actions of obedience. Say that which is good, look at that which is pleasing to Allah, be in the places that are pleasing to Allah, being amongst the people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-amru al-sadis fi hadha al-bab. Now the sixth principle, inshaAllah ta'ala. أهمية إغلاق المنافذ التي تخرج بالإنسان عن تزكية وتبعده عن الفضيلة وتوقعه في الرذيلة. Here he says, in this principle, that If a person really is concerned with his soul and he wants his soul to be purified, whether it be a man or a woman, this is for both, that person have to close any door that may lead to corruption. Any door. Anything that may keep you away from doing good things and virtuous actions of ibadah and righteous actions and lead you to evil, to sin, to disobedience to Allah, you gotta cut that path. Okay? You're not crossing that bridge. Because you know what that bridge is gonna take you to. Now you're not crossing that bridge, man. You're gonna make your turn from that path. You're gonna close that door. You're not gonna touch it and open it. Because it's gonna remove you from obedience to disobedience. From things that is pleasing to Allah to things that bring upon you the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, and this came in a hadith. Came in a hadith that is collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi and Imam al-Nasai, and Imam al-Tirmidhi said this hadith Hassan Gharib. I'm going to read to you the hadith in Arabic first, and then we'll read to you the translation inshallah. An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Daraba Allahu mathalan siratan mustaqima. Pay attention to this hadith. It contains a lot of benefits. ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا عَلَى كَتِفَيِّ الصِّرَاطِ سُورَانِ فِيهِمَا أَبْوَابٌ مُفَتَّحَةٌ وَعَلَى الْأَبْوَابِ سُطُورٌ مُرْخَاتٌ وَعَلَى الصِّرَاطِ دَاعٍ يَقُولُ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اسْلُكُوا الصِّرَاطَ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَعْوَجُّوا وَدَاعٍ يَدْعُو عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ فَإِذَا أَرَادَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَتْحَ شَيْءٍ مِنْ تِلْكَ الْأَبْوَابِ قَالَ وَيْلَكَ لَا تَفْتَحُهُ فإنك إن تفتحه تلجه فالصراط الإسلام والستور حدود الله والأبواب المفتحة محارم الله والداعي الذي على رأس الصراط كتاب الله والداعي من فوق واعظ الله يذكر في قلب كل مسلم. Now, in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah has given a parable, an example of the straight path. His hadith gives us an example and a parable of the straight path, the Sirat al-Mustaqim. And on the two sides of this path, there are two walls. I want you to really pay attention to these details now in this narration. Okay? He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a parable, an example of the straight path so that it can become clear to us. What is it? Because we are commanded to be on a path that is straight. We ask Allah in Surah Al-Fatiha at least 17 times every day, that only in the obligatory. But if you pray the sunnah, that's more than that. You ask Allah, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Oh Allah, keep us, guide us to stay on the path that is straight. He said, Allah has given a parable of the straight path. And on the two sides of this path, there are two walls containing doorways. You know doorways, right? Like this one, that's a doorway. A doorway is like a door with no... You can't shut it. You can't shut it and you can't lock it. That's a doorway, right? But on these doorways, there are curtains that are hanging down. Curtains. We don't have a door that is locked or shut. But we have doorways. But on these doorways, there are curtains that are hanging down. What this tells us? What is easy to get through a curtain or a door that is shut?
Through the curtain.
The curtain is nothing. You just move it with one little pinky. You know. So that's what it is. So on these two doorways, there are curtains that are hanging down. On the gate of this path, there is a caller calling, "All people, stay firm on this straight path, all together, and do not stray." Later on, the Prophet explained that this caller who say this is the Book of Allah. The Book of Allah telling us, how many ayahs telling us to stay on the path and don't stray away from it. O people, stay firm on this straight path all together and do not stray. There is also another caller that calls from above that path who says, when a person wants to open the curtain on any of these doorways, woe to you. Do not open this curtain, for if you open it, you will enter it. You will enter through those doorways. The Prophet ﷺ says the path that is straight is Islam. The straight path is Islam. The two walls are Allah's set limits. As the two walls. Allah's set limits. The doorways lead to Allah's prohibitions. Like curtains. And they lead to Allah's prohibitions. The collar on the gate of the path is Allah's book, the Quran. The collar that says, stay firm on the path and don't stray. While the collar from above the path is Allah's admonition in the heart of every Muslim. Sometimes, man, you want to do something, but something in you tell you, man, that's not you, right or wrong. You don't have to wait somebody to come to you in your face and tell. Tayyib.
No. Inshallah.
Inshallah. Later on, طيب عندي هنا إن شاء الله. The Shaykh حفظه الله تعالى, he says, so therefore here, he says, from this narration, it is important for somebody who wants to purify himself to shut down any door or any gate that may lead to corruption. Those doorways and curtains, that if a person remove them or try to see what's behind there, he's going to remove that person, he removes himself from the path of purification to the path of evil and wickedness. That's why, look, from the sunnah, if you go and knock at the door, like you go to some brother's house, what is the proper way to stand in front of the door? Somebody know?
No. Your back facing the door.
Huh?
With your back facing the door?
Not the back. You just face like this way or this way. If the door like this, you face this way or this way.
Away from the door.
Nah, but you don't be right there. Some people, they is like right there on the door. If anything, but maybe a little kid open the door. You know what I'm saying? Maybe some women in there, she's not dressed properly and she didn't know who's knocking. She's just coming down the stairs. And some people, they like this. Or as soon as the door opens, they get in. Now you can't do that. So if the door is like this, you're standing like this. And you're talking like this. Is your father here? But the door is over here, but you're not looking. Well, you look down, alhamdulillah, you know, at your feet. Alright? And also, the istidan, when you knock, you ask permission for 3 times. If no answer, what you do? You leave. What some people do? They go sit right there by the sidewalk and look at the blinds. Like, he's there. yeah. Look. They just, those blinds when we pulled in, they were open. Even if the brother is there, so he don't want to talk to you. Right or wrong? He don't want to talk to me. Maybe the brother have an issue. Maybe he's busy with doing something. Maybe he has a class with his children. Maybe his mother in there and he give her medication or talking to her. Well, he gonna stop that and come and talk to me? Look, I do what I gotta do. What the sunnah tell me to do? 3 times. What the Prophet ﷺ said? The Prophet ﷺ said, say, look, if his car is over there, his camel over there, he got to be there. Don't let him fool you. If they don't answer the door, stay there until they come out. The Prophet ﷺ didn't say that. He says, listen, if permission is given to you, mashallah, if not, leave. If somebody sticks right there, and wait, oh, he want to play games with me, man, I'm going to show him who he is, man, he think he's smart. No, you are not smart because you're going against the sunnah. That's it. You knock 3 times. Permission given you, alhamdulillah. Not given, leave. Even if the boy come out, or little boy come out and says, oh, you want to talk to my father? Yeah. He says he's busy right now. He'll see you at the masjid. What attitude you should have at that moment? Said to him, tell your boy, tell that little boy, tell your father, Jazakallah khairan, for the masjid. Jazakallah khairan, yes, I see him in the masjid, inshallah. Some people, they want to argue. Tell your father to come here right now, man. No, why? So it's very important for us to have this manner. These are the things that purify our souls. A purified soul doesn't get in trouble. Doesn't go against the sunnah, because you remember, one of the things that shows that a person's soul is purified, that person accepting the sunnah and practicing the sunnah. If somebody tells us to fear Allah, sometimes we'll be mad. And somebody come and say, Akhi, say A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. No, we don't. That's the sunnah. If somebody is mad, he should say A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. But now here is somebody very mad, one of us mad. Another brother, alhamdulillah, wants good for me or for you. And he says, Akhi, say A'udhu Billahi. You say A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, Akhi. Don't talk to me, alright? A'udhu Billahi. Now we reject the sunnah and we want to purify ourselves. No. The sunnah, alhamdulillah, help us to do that which is good and to do that which is righteous. The Shaykh says, Naam. Opening the doors, cutting the links, any thread that may connect you to something evil, you gotta cut it loose. The Shaykh said, how many are those paths and threads and connections that link us to evil our days? Huh? How many? Many of them. Many of them. And how many curtains in our lives that we were so nosy? Huh? Nosy to look on what's going on, and then you get hit in the nose by something. Now you get hit in the eye, you get hit in the heart. That's what happened. If you get hit in the nose, that's easy. You bleed today, tomorrow you're straight. But stuff penetrates in the heart and stays there. How are you going to get out? So that's why when you look at the hadith of the sunnah, and how even the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you sit, if you go to another house that is not yours, if you don't just sit anywhere, you gotta wait until the person of the house tell you where to sit. You know that, right? Why? Because he knows his house. Now somebody just wanna sit right here, so he has the view of the whole house. Nah. The brother tell you sit in there, don't get mad, because he knows what's going on in his house. You sit in that spot, and when you sit, you lower your gaze, because then you are in your house. You don't just be looking all over. Or you be standing and trying, even if you want to use a bathroom, even if you want to do anything, you want to ask permission. Because you don't want to like cross the limits. You want to cross a curtain. You don't want to find yourself the other side of the doorway. Alright? Tayyib. And this is not when we talk about this thing, the Shaykh said, we're not just talking about wicked people, bad people. No, this happens for the righteous. Good people, man, if they are not paying attention, it's slippery, man. You gotta like, before you put your foot, you're gonna see where you put your foot at. The Shaykh says, don't you think this is just because for wicked, evil people? No, no, this is for those who are righteous, alhamdulillah, doing good. But if they are not paying attention, it's only curtain, akhi. It's not like a steel door. They have four bolts on it. And you don't have the keys. Now this is a curtain, man. Sometimes that curtain may be moved by the wind. And if you're looking at it, you got to look at something that is not for you to look at. And if a person is not paying attention, so he's removing himself from guidance to misguidance. Now he's trying to purify himself and by him. Not knowing this principle and applying it, he thinks he's purifying himself, but hey, boom. He's causing damage for himself. That's why you say for those Kurds, for example, that we're not supposed to talk to women. That is not our mahram. And even if there is necessity that woman, maybe you're doing a business, you go shopping, you don't be looking at her and how you doing, you look good. No, none of that stuff. See, some of us, subhanAllah, we make it permissible for us to do certain things, but if our wives do that thing, she's divorced. 3 times, right? On Kroger. Right there. On CVS, parking lot. She has to find her all right. You know what I'm saying? You looked at them. But him, when he's talking to that cashier lady, how you doing? How you look good in that? Do you look good conducting yourself in that manner? May Allah have mercy on us. Ameen. The Sheikh says, look, man, anybody on his right mind, if he doesn't want, if he want to keep his house clean from rodents, from dogs, stray dogs, from insects, what that person should do? Keep the door shut. And what else? Just the door? Okay, he shut the door, but the windows are wide open. Right or wrong? Shut the windows. Cracks, any holes, can make sure. Because those cracks bring rodents. Right or wrong? Because you know how difficult if you got mice and stuff in your house, how are you going to get them out now? Sometimes you have to move out and leave the apartment for them. You know? The Sheikh Ali said also, if there is a bad smell, you're driving, for example, your car, and you pass by area, and you have the windows down, and you pass by, raccoon or some bad smell, what was the first thing come to your mind? Huh? Close the windows. They go. They gotta go up. Likewise, you go by an area that stinks. Huh? You gotta close the doors, man. You know? Because those things that are haram, they poison, man. If you get to your heart, you know what poison do to you? Kills you. Likewise, sins. Sins, they kill the nobility of the soul. You want your soul to be noble and to continue to increase in nobility, huh? But you bring in poison to it. Stuff that will destroy it. It's like someone who has a little plant, huh? Has a plant, alhamdulillah, in the backyard, apple tree. And he's like, man, inshallah, in a couple of years, we're not going to buy apples anymore. But that person, if he's not taking care of that tree, right? Watering it, making sure that he get all the stuff away from it. What is the shrubs and these things? What do they call them?
Crabgrass.
The grass and whatever?
Weeds.
The weeds. Why? Because those they take away from the water, take away from the nutrition, right or wrong? And he's taking care of it. He's going to grow, alhamdulillah, nice. But if he's neglecting that tree, or instead of water, he's putting gasoline on it, trash. Nah, he didn't. Allah musta'an. So the Shaykh says a person keep himself from anything that may harm his body. Alright? A person do not mess with poison. He knows what it does for his body. A person does not drink gasoline. He knows it's harmful. A person does not sit on a hot stove, right or wrong, because it's harmful. But a person does not sit on something, object that is sharp, because he knows that may penetrate to his skin. But still, in the same time, the person is protecting himself from these harmful things. But there are things that harm the hearts, that harm the soul too. A person should stay away from such things as well. He says, the Shaykh says, there are many things in your life that have value. But nothing is more valuable than your soul, and the condition of your soul and the condition of your heart. Because you may lose money. Money is valuable. Your car is valuable to you. Your house. You may lose it and Allah give you something else. Or if you may be broke all your life, you may end up in Jannah, inshallah, if you have a pure soul. But if a person have a corrupt soul, evil, wicked soul, all his life, doesn't matter how rich he may be and how much property he has, so where are you going to end up, walayyadu billah? So we have to take good care of that. The Shaykh says, there are many things that you, if you lose them, you may make them up. But if you don't make them up this day, mashallah, Allah will give you better in Yawm al-Qiyamah. But if a person neglects his own soul, then there is no other chance. If a person dies upon corruption, upon evil, upon shirk, upon hypocrisy, upon nifaq, upon sins, upon disobedience, does that person have another chance to rectify after death? No. Death is one way. So the Shaykh says, everything that you lose, you may make it up. Except the deen. If you lose your religion, that's a calamity. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he used to make this dua, ya akhwan, that we have to memorize. He used to say, وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مُصِيبَتَنَا فِي دِينِنَا وَلَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ هَمِّنَا وَلَا مَبْلَغَ عِلْمِنَا. O Allah, let us not suffer a calamity concerning our religion, and make us not take this world as our greatest concern or a goal for our knowledge. This is dua of the Prophet ﷺ. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مُصِيبَتَنَا فِي دِينِنَا وَلَا تَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا أَكْبَرَ هَمِّنَا وَلَا مَبْلَغَ عِلْمِنَا. O Allah, let us not suffer a calamity concerning our religion, and make us not take this world as our greatest concern or a goal for our knowledge. The Shaykh Habrat Ali says, certain people, man, he says, they playing games as related to their religion, and they're not paying attention to the danger they put themselves in. By not paying attention to those doorways and those curtains are there for a reason, man. If you're invited to somebody's house and he has a curtain, because sometimes we do that, there is a doorway, right or wrong, that lead to the kitchen, but a brother's going to bring his friends, but he put a sheet in there. Well, there is a reason why that brother put it over there. So that me and you, we cannot look what's going on, what's happening behind. Some of us, that's all. I hope none of us will have this concern. He's sitting over there now. What's behind that? He's hoping that some storm come, a tornado, to remove that curtain, only because that evil soul, he wants to know what's behind the curtain. None of your business. None of your business, brother. But that's the purity of the soul. The purity. That's why you find, if you go to some majma', some gathering, you find those brothers who really, really wants, alhamdulillah, to purify themselves. They don't want to see anything. They race to sit in some corner. But anybody who wants to nosy, wants to know what's going on, is like Inspector Gadget, and he's like, he want to sit right by the door. And he's like this. Akhi, sit down, you humble yourself like this. Have a book, read it. If it tell you to eat, eat. If it tell you to leave, leave. So the Sheikh says we should not cross those limits. Because if you do that, that stuff is going to penetrate in your heart, in your soul. And it will destroy you, wal-iyadu billah. He said, that's why some people, subhanAllah, he says, they're not paying attention to this principle, and they complain. He says, man, I got problems in my life. I got issues. I got a lot of hardship. Man, I'm not straight. My life is not stable. He got issues in his life because of these problems. Because those stuff that pile up on him, the things he does and he sees and look at and the like. And because he was the one that opened the door for all that things. And we have to protect ourselves and protect our children as well and our families. By helping them, making things easy for them, the household has to be, the house and the home has to be a Muslim home. And we should clean our homes from evil, from music, from movies, DVDs, from mixing, from haram, from TV. No, we have to do some cleaning, man. How you want your children to memorize Quran, but you have a TV in the house, in their bedroom? How are they going to memorize Quran? How are they going to memorize Quran and they play, I don't know, those games, you know, the games, the station, whatever they call them, all day? How are they going to learn to lower their gaze, but there's mixing between men and women in their homes all the time? It's worse. Some people, they even, subhanAllah, they say, oh, music is haram. But they bring anashid Islamiyya. You heard the anashid Islamiyya, right? So-called Islamic songs. Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, said, there is no such thing Islamic songs, man. These are bid'ah and innovations. And they took people away from the Qur'an. Even if they chant about Allah, and chant about Qur'an, they are not from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ didn't used to do this anashid or his companions. So Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, he says, these anashid, they call them anashid Islamiyya, they have nothing to do with Islam. It is from the innovations of the Sufis, wal-iyadu billah. They innovated them to turn the people away from Qur'an. And if somebody in the right mind, even if somebody is not convinced, let's say somebody is not convinced that these anashid are haram, and he said, no, akhi, anashid are good, man. They know music, man. They just talk about Islam. Let's say this person is not convinced that they are haram. Tell him, okay. Well, we have a hadith that says, the Prophet said, whoever read the Quran, he get at least 10 good deeds for its letter. Letter, not a word or an ayah. So do you have a hadith that when you recite a nasheed, no, you get something? No, you don't get anything. Sheikh Ali Twijri, he gave us a talk when I was in the Bronx, maybe 2 months ago, or 3 months ago. He gave us a talk on the importance of the Book of Allah, taking care of the Book of Allah and the life. It was a beautiful talk. And he mentioned that Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that in Surah Al-Baqarah, there is some 250,000 letters. No, 25,000 letters. 25,000 letters. If a person recites Al-Baqarah once, at least the reward that he will get, the least, how much? Huh? $250,000. A quarter of a million, akhi. Yeah. He will get a quarter million of good deeds. 250,000, that's a quarter million, right or wrong? Huh? He will get a 250,000 at least, but Allah gave multiply by 700 to whom and more. If somebody or there is that rich brother in the community, huh? And he says, listen, Ikhwan, I know you're struggling, man, but listen, I can't just give you money. But if you read Surah Al-Baqarah, I give you a quarter million. What do you think people be doing, akhi? Huh? I think somebody's making dua right now. May Allah bring somebody like that, right? What you think we will be doing if there is that brother, a brother, a human being? Huh? And he says, listen, brother, I got a lot of money, man. I don't know what to do with it, but I want to help you out. But you got to earn it. How, brother, are we going to earn it? You're going to work for you, construction? No way, no construction, nothing, man, your house. We're going to answer the phone for you? No phone. What are we going to do, brother? What do you want us to do? Just read the Quran. I give you $10 for every letter. Man, you be doing the math. Right or wrong? If Baqarah, Surah Al-Baqarah, huh? Surah Al-Baqarah, you get a quarter million to read it once. If you see a nice house for $1 million, how much? How can you get the house? How?
Read it four times.
How long it take you to recite Al-Baqarah four times? One morning. After Fajr, you finish before Dhuhr, you have a house that have $1 million. In 3 months, man, you, all Durham is yours. 3 months. Right or wrong? But now, what is more important now? Money or good deeds? See how we go wrong, man? See how we go wrong? That's why we need the purification of the soul. Because the soul that is purified looked at the deeds, doesn't look at the money. That's why you were like, Sahaba, dunya came to them and they let it go. They ran away from it. Our conditions, except from those Allah has mercy, dunya running away from us, we're running after it. Uwa ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, he's saying something about his aunt, Aisha radiallahu anha, because that's his aunt, because Urwa, the son of Zubayr, his mother is Asma bint Abi Bakr. Aisha radiallahu anha is his auntie. Aunt. He says, I saw her giving in charity like 100,000 dinar or something. A lot of money. And then she's still putting patches on her clothing. Subhanallah. The purification of the soul, ya akhwan, is very important. And even those people that have money, alhamdulillah, money, that's not a problem. Islam didn't make it prohibited for us to get money, but just you got to be careful now. You have to be careful. It should not be the goal. It should be a means to achieve things. But the goal is the Jannah, ya akhwan, not this dunya. So likewise, they said, you got to protect our homes, our families, our children. We should allow our children, mashallah, to have a good education, that we should be the example for them. Otherwise, are we going to blame them later on when they start acting up, when they become a teenager and become to act up? Jazakallah khair. Are we going to now blame them? We don't care what they do in their rooms, we don't care what they read, we don't care who they go with, and then we put them in a public school, and then we become teenagers and they start acting up, oh, you're a bad person? No, the Shaykh said it's like this poem, or this line of poetry that says, أَلْقَاهُ فِي الْيَمِّ مَكْتُوفًا وَقَالَ لَهُ إِيَّاكَ إِيَّاكَ أَنْ تَتْوَلَّ بِالْمَاءِ. Person put his teenagers in a public school and stuff, And the home is not right, and then he expects from that child or that teenager, boy or girl, to be upright and straight. He's like, it's like the one who throws somebody in a river from a bridge after tying his hands and feet and told him, do not get wet. Right or wrong? You got somebody over the bridge, you tied them down. Even you tie them, don't tell them, is it going to change something? But even shows that more, the gravity of the matter. They tie their hands and down, and then they throw them off a bridge, and while they throw them, they say, do not get wet. Okay, you explain this to me. Likewise. Some families, they neglect the education of their children, they neglect their aqidah, the purification of their soul, let them hang with whatever, street, go to your room and they have a TV in their room and DVD and who knows, and computer kids have, they give iPhones. A teenager, 12, 13, 14, have an iPhone, they have internet. What that boy going to be? Kids have Facebook. Right, wrong. Teenagers, 12, 13, they have their own Facebooks, their Twitter. Facebook, you know what that means. They be talking to others, right? And who they be talking to? La ilaha illallah. And then when those kids start acting up, then all of a sudden those parents, they want to like, oh man, he's a bad boy. No, he's not a bad boy. Never been a bad boy. You made him like that. You made him like that. Those boys, they like a doll. You have a doll, you know the doll, as long as it's still fresh, you can make whatever you want. Let it sit and get dry and hard, now what's going to happen? That's it. So it's very important for us, Akhwan, to keep that in mind. We're going to like summarize because we don't have a lot of time. The seventh, bab, في تزكية تذكر الموت. لا إله إلا الله. Likewise, remembering death help you to purify your soul. And remembering that you will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that you will leave this dunya, this will help you. And the Shaykh, he mentioned many ayahs. From them is the ayah 18 in Surah Al-Hashr, and also in Surah Al-Tahrim, ayah 6, and also Surah Al-Baqarah 281. You don't have a lot of time, Ikhwan. I'll leave it for you to check those ayats, inshallah, in the Quran. Do some homework. This is homework, by the way. Alright, assignment.
Can you repeat the ayah, Latin?
Who is this brother who talks? He's in Raleigh or in Durham? Huh? Where you are, brother? Raleigh or Durham? Are you over there? Are you in Durham? Okay, exactly. Okay. Ayah 18 of Surah Al-Hashr and Ayah 6 of Surah Al-Tahrim and the Ayah 281 of Surah Al-Baqarah. I want you to read these ayahs, inshallah, once you go home. Okay? I'm trying to save some time because this is my last lecture here and I want to finish these principles with you, inshallah. So the Shaykh says a person will continue upon good as long as he remembers death. And that whatever he does, inshallah ta'ala, if he does good, he thank Allah and praise Allah and ask Allah for firmness. If he does evil, he'll repent and ask Allah for forgiveness. Also Surah Al-A'raf, ayah number 9, Al-A'raf. That's chapter 7. And also Surah Al-Mu'minun, that's chapter 23, verse 102. Al-Mu'minun 102. And Al-Zilzala, you can read all of it, Surah Al-Zilzala. Or the Shaykh, he mentioned 7 and 8. So the seventh principle here that helps in the purification of the soul is Tadhakkur al-Mawt, to remember death. Al-Amr al-Thamin, the eighth one, تخير الجلساء الصالحون. Allah Akbar. That you have to be careful who you're choosing as companions, as friends. Who are the people you spend time with? Who are the people you talk to and you listen to? Who are those people you spend a lot of time with? Because the Prophet says, المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل. A person is on the religion of his closest friends. So let every one of you be careful who he's taking as friends. Because a good friend, he's going to remind you. Because that's his habit. Adhan of Salat is at 12:30. He's a habit that he's always there at 40 minutes. If you're with him, yeah, he's talking to you, he's drinking with you that coffee, that tea. But as soon as 40 minutes before the Adhan, he's gone. And you're like, Akhi, come on, where are you going? Masjid. He's like, Akhi, we still have like an hour for the Adhan. He says, for you, not for me. You have 1 hour, I don't have 1 hour. That's a good friend. Not like you'd be hanging with somebody. You want to go 10 minutes before they're there, and they're like, Akhi, what's the rush? Salat. Salat don't come until 10, Akhi. Come on, man. Chill. Chillax. Huh? You know, chillax, man. You know what I mean, chillax? That's the combination between chilling and relaxing. Chillaxing, you know, it's like combination. I don't know if it's true. Like, it's between chilling and relaxing. So hey, he tell you chillax, Achim. Come on, man. You want to be with a person like that? You want to do good, but he's tying you down? No, you don't want. You want to be with a person that if you slack in, if you kind of like feel like want to like sit down, he's like, Achim, what you doing, man? Get up, man. Let's go. Come on, man. We're going to go to the masjid, brother. What are you doing? See? Hey. And the Prophet ﷺ, he gave an example. A good companion and an evil companion. The good companion is like someone who has a business. He's in a business of good smell, you know, perfumes and this. If you're around that person, if you buy, you're just going to buy something good. If you don't buy anything, he may give you a gift. And he give you a gift, he always going to be something good. It smells good. If none of this happens, man, you're going to like, when you leave, you're going to smell good because you were around him. But the evil companion is like the one you're hanging about around the blacksmith. That's what they call him, blacksmith. The one who work with fire and rubber and all that stuff. Huh? Abdul Rashid, you said something.
Brother said iron.
Iron, I said. Nah, and rubber and all that. Now, hanging with a person like that and none of your business, he's not his partner or nothing, what benefit in there? You may burn your clothing, right? But if that have not happened, what happened? Bad smell. Huh? People, they know where you came from. But alhamdulillah, Allah didn't put smells, bad smells for sins. Can you imagine if sins smell? Any one of us will sit next to the other? May Allah have mercy on us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al-Kahf, ayah 28, وَاسْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ. Keep yourself in the company of those who remember their Lord. And finish the ayah, barakallahu alaykum. I want you to finish the ayah, okay? Likewise, we will never find people that are serious about their deen. They're your friends. Not somebody who has a car, bigger car, a truck, or just in case if I need him, I'm going to stay close to him. I'm going to take him as a friend, just in case he has a job. He may be hiring. That's my man. No, he's not your man. This is not the brotherhood. Your man is the one who is upon the deen of the man that Allah commands us to follow his example, the Prophet ﷺ. That's your man. If anybody is on the sunnah, that's your man. Even if he's broke, has nothing, and you think he has nothing, he has the deen, man. He has something that you can put no price on. Adherence to the sunnah, purification of the soul. These things are priceless, man. You can't buy them. Bill Gates cannot buy anything, man, with his money, unless if he make a tawbah. And may Allah guide him to Islam. Ameen. And Oprah, and Montel, and Maury Povich, and all of them. And Leno, and Letterman, and all of them. May Allah guide them to Islam. I mean, we want good for them. And Obama, and Clinton, and who else? Huh?
Ram.
Who?
Ram.
Raman?
Ram.
Ramanudu? Who's this?
Romney.
Whatever he is, I don't know. Who's this Romney? The mayor in here or something?
No, he's Mormon running for the president. He's running for president as well.
He's not president yet?
No.
I will make dua for the president, man. Okay. May Allah guide that Romney too. I mean, he wants guidance for them. May Allah guide them to Islam. I mean. All right? These are the people you want to be with, Ya Ikhwan. The people that purify themselves. Doesn't matter if from your country, from another country. You grow up with him or you never see him in your life. That's your man. Because he's purified, mashallah. He loves Allah. He loves the Messenger of Allah. He loves his deen. When he's wrong and you talk to him about the haqq, he kiss your head and tell you, Jazakallahu khair, Akhi, Barakallahu fi, for correcting my mistake. He don't argue with you. He don't try to be slick and smart. Oh, you know, it's not like that, man. Oh, blah, blah, blah. No. Can't be slick when it comes to this deen, man. Take it. This deen is not yours, man. If you're wrong, you're wrong. Accept it and humble yourself, and Allah will raise your levels. The last bab, Ya Ikhwan, at-tasi'. And this is very important that the person should be aware of ujub. What is ujub? Thinking that he's all right. Certain people, shaitan, come to them from this door and say, hey, you're all right, man, that's it, you got it. You're straight, you're righteous now, that's it, man, you're okay. You're okay. You're still in this dunya and you think you're okay? No, you're not okay until you die upon tawheed. That's when you're okay. As long as you're in this dunya, don't be secure. Don't feel secure, Ya Ikhwan. The Prophet ﷺ, he says that the hearts of the servants are between the fingers of Ar-Rahman. He turns them as he will. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he used to increase from that dua. And that's a homework to find a dua. Okay, inshallah? Jazakumullah khairan. So you don't purify yourself. Don't say, I know, I'm okay, I'm straight, I'm righteous, I'm this, I'm upright, akhi, I'm stable, I am this. No, don't say that stuff. Continue to do what is right. But don't you ever think like you're a sit. You're done. You're finished. The job is finished. It never finished until you're finished. That job never is finished until your life here is finished. That's it, man. Don't you think like, man, I'm straight and be looking at other people. Man, look, yeah, they still doing it like it was 10 years ago. Now you're still alive, brother. At least those brothers climb in the ladder. You think you got it? At least those brothers, they work and they know what they're doing wrong. Certain people, they get in that level, they think that's it. They don't have nothing wrong. They finish everything now. That's ujub. That's a disease, a fatal disease. That a person think himself that he don't make mistakes. I say, I don't make mistakes. I'm straight, man. No. And then they won't accept the nasiha. When they work, they don't. Because he thinks like, man, me? Yeah, I made a mistake? Come on, you made a mistake, brother. Akhi, you, I just saw you. You saw me? You wearing lenses? What, man? Go check your eyes, brother. Because me, I don't make no mistakes. See, that's the shaitan. Get him in that corner, man. You gotta be afraid for yourself. And continue, inshallah ta'ala, to purify yourself. The Shaykh, he says, briefly he mentioned these principles, and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make them as benefits for all of us. May Allah benefit us with that which we heard. And may Allah make it a proof for us, not against us. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all tawfiq, to do that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq to do that which is good. And may Allah guide us to always stay on the path that is straight. And then the Shaykh says, O Allah, grant our souls its taqwa and purify it. You are the best of those who purify their souls. And he says, Anta waliyuha wa mawlaha, that dua that we mentioned. Then he says, O Allah, rectify our religion and our livelihood and rectify our affairs in the hereafter. And as long as you keep us alive, allow us to increase in good deeds. And make the death as a rest for us from all evil. O Allah, help us and don't help the enemies against us. O Allah, grant us victory and don't grant the victory of the enemies, like the shayateen, over us. Oh Allah, guide us and make things easy for us and make the path of guidance easy for us so that we can be upon it. Oh Allah, make us from those who constantly give thanks to your favors. Oh Allah, make us from al-dhakirin, those who remember you and mention you much. Oh Allah, make us from those who repent to you with repentance and sincere repentance. Oh Allah, make us obedient to you, Oh Allah. Oh Allah, accept our repentance. Oh Allah, cleanse us and purify our souls. Oh Allah, guide our hearts and our tongues. Oh Allah, forgive us. Forgive our parents, those who died as Muslims. Forgive our mashayikh, askars, and a Muslim male and female, the believing male and a female, those who are alive and those who died amongst them. إنك غفور رحيم جواد كريم والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله وسلم على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد آل محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. And we thank the Shaykh حفظه الله تعالى for these beautiful advices. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to safeguard this effort for him in the scales of his good deeds, sincerely for him on Yawmu Al-Qiyamah. Likewise, we thank you, brothers and sisters, for your attendance. We thank our brother, the Imam here at the Masjid, the Tawheed wa Sunnah, the Idara, the administration, and the rest of the community for their hospitality and the like. Jazakumullah khair and barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.